to begin, can you just talk about the areas you cover for Forrester?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm in the application development and program management group, which means I write for those sorts of individuals. And open source is a little bit of an interesting one for me because I, it kind of crosses roles. But what we tend to find is that a lot of times it's developers and maybe development managers that are pulling open source into the enterprise. And that, I think, is why I have it as a research area. But in addition to open source, I also cover Web 2.0. I cover rich internet application development. I cover software change configuration management and application lifecycle management, software modeling, mobile development, IDEs, and programming languages. So a pretty wide variety of development-related stuff.
There's obviously a lot of apocrypha and maybe even some downright misinformation about how open source is being used in the enterprise. Can you illuminate things a bit?
Sure. It crosses a wide variety of spectrums, but anyone who tells you that it's not being used strategically for mission-critical applications isn't talking to the right people, because I see it used that way as well as, you know, on individual projects at the departmental level. I'll give you one example. I have talked with a large organization that's using it as the core, using multiple open source products and frameworks as the core of its reservation systems. And, you know, they're pushing 30,000 transactions a second through what's essentially an open source infrastructure. So, you know, I defy anybody to say that that's not mission critical, and it certainly contributes revenue to their business. You know, I've talked to organizations that, are almost completely open source in their development environment. So all the software code that they write is being built with open source tools. You know, I think all you have to do is look at the latest data from the Eclipse Community Survey, which they published, I guess, about 3 weeks ago. And it's pretty hard to make the argument that open source adoption is not pervasive and accelerating in the market.
What are some of the real success stories you've seen with open source in commercial settings?
Well, I just mentioned the one about travel and transport provider, but I've seen open source used as the basis for in-store sales systems that are PCI compliant. So that would be another thing that you hear. You can't build secure software with open source. And, you know, I defy you to find an example of a system which needs a higher level of governance and qualification than something that's handling credit card data. And yet, we see organizations that are successfully deploying software with things like, Open Solaris and networking stacks that are based on open source software. I've also seen it used in, financial services organizations. A major airline in Europe, which is, using open source at the core of their operating system strategy, and they're running, their SAP installations on top of an open source operating system framework and saving, $1 million simply by doing that. So, the uses are many and varied, but generally, the goal is to save money. That's kind of where organizations start. And then what tends to happen is the more that they become comfortable with using open source and the more that they apply it successfully, the more they start to realize that there are benefits other than cost savings that they can take advantage of. And that's when you start to see them turn into open source, from open source opportunists into open source advocates. And it's interesting to watch that transformation happen over a year or 2 year period at a large company. And then they start looking for opportunities to replace commercial products, things at the app server level, things at the business intelligence level, things in the web content management space. And all of these are opportunities where there's some real credible open source projects that are used by large organizations successfully.
Just to be balanced, what are some of the perils that companies need to watch out for when they start to adopt open source?
I'll tell you, the number one a peril that I run into is an overinflated set of expectations. And it usually goes something along the lines of, well, you know, we're going to dramatically reduce our software costs. And there are some scenarios where that can happen. But in reality, what open source does, especially at the start, is it tends to shift your software costs. So yes, you're reducing the capital expenses and expenditures that you are paying for bits. But in most cases, you know, firms that are starting with open source are still buying support contracts from organizations. If you're using Spring, you're buying support from Spring Source, or if you're using MySQL, you're buying support from Sun or a third party. And so those costs don't necessarily go away. And, you know, they can be pretty much parallel with what you pay for commercial software. The other thing that we tend to see is that sometimes your labor costs go up because, you know, like it or not, using open source tends to mean that you're implementing a best-of-breed technology architecture strategy. And that means that somebody's got to integrate all the piece parts. And, you know, the good news is at least you can integrate the piece parts and you've got the source if there's no out-of-the-box integration. But the bad part with that is that you've got to have skilled architects. You have to have skilled developers. And in general, the more skilled the individual practitioners are, the higher their labor costs are. So we generally do tend to see a little bit of an increase in the overall labor cost component of the total cost model with an organization that adopts open source. So if you've got a lot of processors and you've got a lot of per processor software costs and you're ripping those things out, well, the savings and capital costs can make up for the increases in labor costs. But you know, if you're not a large organization, if you don't necessarily have a lot of software licensing fees and you don't necessarily have a lot of existing resources that have talent and skill, it may be a net wash or even a minus for your organization. And I think that that's one of the reasons that we see a little bit of an adoption gap when we look at mid-size firms and how many of them are using open source versus firms that are very large and firms that are very small. And, you know, it kind of gets back to I think Martin Mikos is saying that open source is for people that have more time than money. You know, very small corporations don't have the money at all, so by default they have more time. And very large organizations have the resources and the people, i.e. the time needed to invest in open source, and they have the opportunity to realize significant savings from the application of it. And that's why I think we see a U-shaped adoption curve when it comes to open source in the enterprise.
There's a perception that open source developers and projects can be dismissive or even downright hostile toward the corporate world. Do you think this is a fair perception?
You know, there's a certain amount of that going on, but you know what? To some extent, I don't think the enterprise IT world cares. I mean, they see potentially valuable projects, potentially valuable frameworks, and one of the beauties of the open source licenses is you can't discriminate by use. So, you know, a large bank has every right to use that application framework as, you know, a nonprofit organization. And, you know, so regardless of whether the attitude's there or not, it certainly doesn't color the interest or decrease the amount of interest that enterprise organizations have in open source in any way.
What are the real sweet spots right now for open source in corporate settings, and where do you think the open source world still needs to improve their coverage?
We tend to see adoption from the inside of the IT organization out, so you know, you would expect things like operating systems and application servers, HTTP servers would be very popular. Development tools in particular are an extremely attractive space for open source these days. If you look at the most popular IDEs out there, you'd have to say that Eclipse is certainly there in the Java market. It's really you know, highly used, and there are other open source Java IDEs as alternatives to that. Again, if you believe the Eclipse community survey data, you've got 3 out of 4 organizations saying that they're using an open source SCM tool. I think one of the reasons that we've seen such aggressive adoption of development tools is because developers are most comfortable with open source, and you know, the potential liability issues with distributing code outside your own firewall are a little bit lower. So that's one of the reasons that we've seen aggressive adoption in the enterprise there. But we are slowly starting to see interest move up the stack. So I'll tell you, we're seeing increased interest in open source content management systems and enterprise content management systems, things like Drupal and Alfresco. We have an analyst in our organization, Stephen Powers, who's just been writing in that area. And we're also seeing increased interest in open source BI. You know, there's really a number of very good solutions out there. You know, Jaspersoft, Pentaho, Spago BI, and Actuate all build core solutions around open source components that, you know, are very interesting to organizations. Traditionally, you know, they have to really think about how they deploy BI because it's expensive and it can't really be widely deployed to lots and lots of users without spending, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. And, you know, the idea of an open source BI model is something that excites a lot of organizations and has got them thinking about what that might do to the way that they deploy business intelligence in their organization. So, you know, gradually moving up the stack, but still strongest at the core of the IT organization.
This is breaking news today, so, you know, I'll understand if you don't feel like you can comment on it at this point, but I've seen reports that the London Stock Exchange, which was one of Microsoft's Get the Truth poster children, is pulling back from their Windows deployment. Does that say anything to you?
Well, it's difficult for me to comment on the reasons or what's going on there. But, you know, we're going to see these sorts of switches, you know, back and forth. And, you know, you could argue that running, you know, open source on Microsoft platforms is also a very interesting way to go. You know, I wrote recently about what Microsoft's done with their WebPI products that take PHP and make it available and make PHP-based applications very simple to install on the Windows platform. And so, you know, they're both good and bad from Microsoft's perspective in terms of open source. You know, the one thing I'd add here is that to some extent, as we start to see systems migrate into the cloud, you know, what operating system to some extent becomes a little bit less important than the overall cost of maintaining the stack and deploying the stack in that hosted environment. So it's possible you could see Windows versus Linux being as much of an issue in the overall open source software debate. Certainly, a lot of the organizations that I talk to happily continue to run Windows as their core operating system platform, but still use other kinds of open source products like Eclipse, like Apache and Tomcat, Spago or Jaspersoft, and really look at it as a mixed environment, not a pure open source or pure commercial type of situation.
You're going to be presenting at OSCON on a panel called Beyond the Hype, the True Cost of Open Source. Is there anything else at the conference that's caught your interest or that you're particularly looking forward to?
Honestly, I haven't had a lot of time to scope out some of the sessions that I want to attend, and that's just reflective of the way that Forrester works with the end of quarter and everything that's been coming together. But in general, wherever possible, you know, I'm looking to gauge the level of pragmatism in the community versus religious fervor. Because, you know, certainly in the enterprise space, we see pragmatism ruling the day. And to some extent, I think it's important to see who, at the conference is understanding that attitude and is adapting and reacting accordingly, and who is maybe dismissive of the interests of enterprise IT. And I'll give you an example of that. One of the things that most tends to concern enterprises is the security of open source software. And, you know, if you look at any of the defects and the bug reports and you look at NIST and that sort of thing, I think, you know, there's no justification to say that open source is less secure than commercial source. But it's a perception that is held in the enterprise that's the case. So, you know, the community can do one of two things. They can either understand that perception is there and deal with it and put data up that disproves it, or they can say, well, you know, the enterprise doesn't know what it's talking about. Aren't they stupid? And they don't say they don't know what's going on. And, you know, I think that dismissive approach, you know, is counterproductive from a business standpoint. So, you know, I'll be looking for, you know, sessions and seminars and attitudes that show that there's an understanding of the myth and the reality of open source that, if properly dealt with, can really help the folks that believe in it as a fundamental business model be more effective in working with enterprise organizations.
Well, Jeffrey Hammond from Forrester, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to seeing you at OSCON and hope to see you there.
Thanks a lot. Can't wait.